test.
Life is nothing but a test, and that's the way we're going to start our podcast with Toby Pett. Mrs. Effervescent.
Mr. Effervescent,
Toby Pett, as he stuffs down his brother's brew donut.
Good morning, Gloucester.
There you go. And Mrs. Grumpy Pants.
And I've got my new name forever, Mrs. Grumpy Pants. Good morning, Gloucester.
And Ken Smith is with us. It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. We got an Indian summer, gorgeous, warm weekend for the cyclocross. I can't unsee that. It is. I wish you. Good thing this is a video podcast. Okay, I'm gonna let that go. I'd like to thank Earl and Arch for our awesome intro music. I never give them props. I should give them props more often. But Earl and Arch did the introduction music. It's the official theme song of Good Morning Gloucester. It's called Gloucester Till the End. You can find it in the sidebar on the website, and you can also download it for free on gimmesound.com.
Oh, really? For free?
Free?
Really?
That's awesome. Peter and Vicky's website. They built this website, and now I think they're focusing more on live events, but they started it as this thing where musicians would put one or two of their songs on the site, and people could download them for free, and it was an advertising model whoever the advertisers, they would divvy up the whatever the advertisers paid per download or something like that. So it actually helps the artist if you download it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a great song. It's one of my favorite songs. I actually cried listening to it one time. I got emotional, I should say. Not cry.
Really enjoying your brother's brew donuts.
This is this is not your average donut. You can't just put one of these in front of go, oh, have a bite and come back to it in a half an hour. It's like
nom 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 nom.
I mean, people who have not tried Brother's Brew donuts don't even have a clue as to how good they are.
The flies love them too. We got one fly dropping us all bananas. We're all whacking our heads. I mean, there's one fly that just will not leave us alone. And it's all because of the Brother's Brew. Yeah.
Oh, there goes another bite, and that's why there's dead silence.
Oh, my God. It was.
A beautiful weekend. Nonetheless, cyclocross, they couldn't have
picked a better.
Right. Did they? Or do you think it's better in the mud? There's been years where it's just there.
Oh, really? Mud?
Yeah, if it rains.
Wow. Did you go?
Yeah, went yesterday.
I'm sure there's certain people in the city, city councilor types, not necessarily city councilors, who would like to. Oh, what a perfect venue. We should be charging them.
I'm holding my comments on that.
No.
I think there was a couple of counselors that might have been previous counselors that are not on the council anymore. Cause I don't think they give them as hard of a time anymore. Try to extort them from. Not that I didn't mean extort. No, it's not like that at all.
Everywhere you go, there's
poor choice of words.
Right, of course. Terrible choice of words. Yeah, no, not that.
Everywhere you go,
couldn't have been
anything
that
successful that just isn't like that. They want to, you know, stick it to them at all. Not in this town.
No,
that's another place we're thinking of. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's why I raised the subject. I wanted that reaction.
Yeah, there you go. No, they're doing good. I talked to Ambie yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Ambie was most of the food vendors are local. I saw Giuseppe's was there selling a ton of pizza.
Oh,
Ambie's
awesome.
Sausages selling a ton of sausages. That Marcou bread.
Oh.
They're up there.
Is that how you say that?
I don't know. No.
They're not. Okay. Never mind.
They're not Middle Eastern?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So they don't do Lahayim?
No. Lahayim is Hebrew.
It's Hebrew.
It means to life. But anyway.
And that isn't part of the Middle Eastern culture?
I think these people are Lebanese. I could be wrong.
And there's what?
No.
No?
Don't.
I'm joking.
We kid.
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, it must be bringing tremendous tourist dollars into Gloucester, because everywhere I go, there are cyclists.
Everywhere. You go down. You went downtown yesterday. Right. There was bike racks with bikes on them up and down Main Street. Right. All the restaurants. Rocky Neck, there was bikes with bike. Bike riders, they're all wearing them funny pants.
Rockport, Eastern Point, they're just everywhere. It's awesome to see somebody.
I talked to some people, somebody that came in from Colorado.
Yeah,
no joke.
It's not just, Toby, it's international.
I'm just trying to make some people listening to this podcast understand.
Yeah, it's international.
There is four major worldwide cyclocross events. Okay. Tokyo.
All right.
God, I forget the other two. But Tokyo is one of them. Okay. The other two are big cities.
Right.
And Gloucester is the fourth, which you don't consider a huge city, but it is. But because I follow a bunch of these people on Twitter, these cyclists, and they are like, there was one, it illustrates it. The guy says, I've raced six races this year, had no problem sleeping, but this is Gloucester and I haven't slept a wink because they're so amped up, because this is a big time race for them, and they say the elite, the winners of this race get big sponsorships. So it's big time.
So the pressure's on.
It's a big race, it's a big deal, like they talk, it's a special race for these people.
Wow.
Internationally. Love it. Big time.
And our own Donna Artizzoni, she was there.
She was volunteering.
She was volunteering.
Helping to park vehicles, I think.
Vehicles, okay.
She looked cute in the picture. Kat Ryan sent us a picture of Donna. She looked cute.
Ball cap on, and blue jeans, and a flag.
Yeah. She's with her accent from Somerville. Back over here! This way! Back over here! I haven't missed one Red Sox game all season long. Back over here. Donna. We love Donna.
We love Donna.
Sweetest woman.
Grandmother of six.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
She's got a nice body for a grandmother of six. No, I mean, she's
I never looked at her that way, but I will next time,
beautiful.
Joe.
Oh, whatever. Know what I'm saying?
She has a beautiful shape.
She's got a beautiful shape for an old lady.
Beautiful face.
The thing that amazes me about Donna Artizzoni is she's got more energy than 10 people put together. And it's not like
ADD?
It's just, it's not just like it's an hour a day. It's from 5 in the morning
till midnight. If she was 25 years old, they'd have her on Adderall. Because that's all the kids do nowadays. Like, there's this massive Adderall. Yeah. Like it seems like this generation that came up behind my generation, like, they're all on Adderall.
I know.
They stuff them on. They're like, and I don't understand it at all, because it's like fight like hyperactive act, like thing there by amping them up. I mean, are you familiar that there's this big Adderall thing going on?
Yeah.
Like, I hear about it all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't agree with all of that, medicating kids.
Oh, my God.
I missed so much when I was young. They didn't have any of that good shit.
I don't think it's good shit, to be honest with you.
I'm being facetious.
No, it's like the same thing with Vicodin. You hear people say, oh, you got Vicodin? Oh, my God, can you get an extra prescription? I'm like, what? Like, I don't even want to take them. Like, I'm hurting. I busted my shoulder, my hernia, whatever it is. Like, I don't want to take these things. Like, why? I don't get what the attraction to Vicodin is. Like, when you take them, you feel like you want to throw up or you're sleepy or something. What does that do for you?
For me, with taking medication, the side effects are always 10 times worse than the symptoms.
I don't get it.
And when you go to a doctor's office now, I noticed this year, instead of having one or two lines to list your prescriptions that you're on, because they just automatically assume, there's 10 lines now. There's 10 spaces now to list your prescriptions.
Take the easy way out. Yeah. Throw the kids on drugs.
Wow.
Don't be a parent. Just throw them on drugs.
Yeah. When my mom goes to the doctor, they ask her what prescription she's on, and she says, I don't take anything. And they think she has dementia, because she tells them she doesn't. taken.
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, there are cases. I know someone that worked in the drug industry, and there are cases where these kind of drugs actually really need. Yeah. It's just that they're overprescribed. That's the problem.
That's
I'm not trying to say that some people don't need these things.
No, you're talking about how they're overprescribed.
It's just I'm talking about the overprescription and I feel like a lot of people, like, if they get on them, especially young, it ends up being a crutch for them. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm, you know, like, oh, I had to take these pills to make me able to be, you know, to deal with life instead of grinding your way through it, you know. But whatever. I mean, I for the people that need it, I guess it's a good thing, you know. So getting back to the race, though, getting back to the cyclocross. So we get there. Walk up over the hill where stage four, from where the baseball field is. As soon as you get over the top of the hill, the part of the course goes right through there, like in front of where the visitor's place is.
Okay.
And it went, so there's this hard, like, big time hairpin turn, and the leader comes in, and then like 5 guys or 10 guys behind them, there's a wipeout. And like there's no place to go. Like, these guys are going fast, and the aisles where they're traveling through are like 6 feet to 7 feet wide.
Wow.
They pile up, it's like immediately the rush and the adrenaline, and it was dry yesterday, so there's a lot of dust.
Oh, that's right. I noticed that.
So this guy gets, they get untangled from each other, all these like wiry guys get untangled from each other. This guy gets up, his whole leg is just red. There's blood and raw, like, and the dirt from the dust and little specks of pebbles stuck into his leg while he hops back on his bike and starts grinding away. I mean, it's just...
Wow.
Intense.
Oh, wow.
Like, didn't stop. I mean, did not stop this guy.
How long crazy. Does the actual race go for?
You know something? I don't know how long, like, the thing is, but I heard them say there were a lap was 8 minutes. So I don't know how many laps it takes to finish the thing. But they were doing 8-minute laps.
Interesting.
So it's like in the space of like stage four park, it winds back and forth, and with these hairpin turns so that like a course can be really long in a short period of, you know, because they're using every bit of the grass and stuff. So I wonder how long it is before, you know, the online message boards go crazy about how, you know, this destroys Stage Fort Park and everything else. And, you know, and all these, you know.
It's laughable. It really is. Sad.
Would be laughable if these people didn't put all the money back into it to get it back up to snuff, but they get it back up to snuff every time. So, yeah, it's great. So this is not like a typical September. As cool as the summer was, we've been having another one of these guys that I follow on Twitter, Eric Fisher. I don't know what channel he's with. Okay. Do you know who Eric Fisher is? He's a meteorologist.
Yeah.
Which channel is he with?
7, I think.
I think it is Channel 7, but he's one of the best weather guys to follow on Twitter because he's constantly putting up current maps and stuff like that and predictions. Really good guy to follow.
Eric Fisher
on Twitter. And he was saying, and so he always gives good quotable stats. And he said, as cool as the summer was, this September has been one of the warmest. On a record. And today was supposed to break records.
And did he say least rainiest as well?
I didn't. He was specifically talking about...
It seems very dry to me.
It does. Yeah. Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah.
We had a
little passel of monarchs come through at the beginning of the week on an air current.
Did you say a passel?
Passel.
Oh, a passel is like a flock of butterflies?
Well, no, it's just like a little group of something, a small group of something, and it could be of anything.
Oh, okay.
So,
no word.
Yeah, so, and then they were here for like a day or two, and then we had another tailwind come up through the north and swept them off down to the next destination, so...
Uh-huh.
So I'm hoping we'll get another batch in.
But it's been warm, and I feel like on a day like yesterday, as nice as it was, I don't think about pumpkins and I don't think about apple orchards.
Not yet.
But it's apple. This is apple. We're in the heart of apple picking season, I think, right?
Yeah. And there, have you gone to any restaurants lately and tried hard cider? That's a new.
It's not new.
Yeah, well, no, it's not new, but it's a growing industry. It's a newly growing industry where, you know, there's a lot of winemakers and artisan brewers now. Hard cider is becoming very popular in restaurants. And I just wondered if you ever tried any.
I've tried it, but I mean, I think I tried them like 10 years ago. I thought it's a little sweet for me.
That's what I'm learning as I'm reading more about it. It's not, there are as many varieties of, because we have all these beautiful heirloom apples now that people are cultivating. You have a huge range of different types of cider, from much less sweeter to sweeter ciders.
Do you have a favorite apple picking orchard?
I go to Russell Orchards just out of habit, because that was one of the few places to go when my kids were little.
I like that place.
Yeah.
Toby, how about you? When was the last time you went apple picking?
It's been a while, to be honest.
Yeah. But when you went, what was that?
Clearly Russell over in, you know. If you grew up around here, I think that's the place.
It used to be called Gooddale Orchard.
Correct. But I mean, there are others that I've been to over the course of my life, and certainly some that have road stands that if I'm in the neighborhood, I'll pick up some of their product, you know.
I think all of these little farms and stuff like that have, with this push in the last like 7 or 8 years to farm to table, have upped their game as far as the retail aspect of their of what they're doing. Like especially Russell's, they have that barn and they have all the different products. They've probably always done the cider donuts, I imagine.
When my kids were little, they had cider.
They did those. But did they have all the other products there too?
No, they had some, but not to the extent.
Like Tender Crop Farms is like got a whole like, you know, the meat department and everything, and like there's all these places. Marshall's Farm Stand seems to me, in all honesty and fairness, I haven't been there, but it's been at the top. It's been on my list because they have animals for the kids to see and stuff like that. Right. They've stepped it up.
Sometimes they have like an association with some of these other small farm and farm stands, and they all grow different products, and they make sure that their products are distributed throughout this network. So you might be able to go to a farm stand in Ipswich, and some of the product may in fact come from Marshall's and vice versa.
Right. And Marini's. Well, you know where I go quite frequently is Utopia Farms, which is right next to the Manchester Athletic Club. So, like,
do you know who does that?
No, I don't know their name.
Do you know Melissa Donati from Willow Rest?
Yeah, her mom used to do that.
Oh, doesn't do it anymore. Yeah. Not involved there.
Her mom's not involved in that one. Her mom's involved or has one in Beverly Farms now.
Oh, her other sister has Vidalia's, which is a little kind of place like Willow Rest, but I don't know that they have like breakfast or like a restaurant part. But it's they have specialty kind of foods and.
Originally, Marilyn was involved in Utopia Farms,
right?
But I don't think she is anymore.
Okay,
I haven't seen her there in 3 years. She was. And she had the farm in Wenham for a long time.
Canaan Farms.
Right, and that was one of the few places, you know, years ago, that was one of the few places where you could go before everybody started doing what they're doing now with all the farms. So,
yeah.
But I haven't seen Marilyn there in a couple of years. Mm. But I actually go there because they get a lot of produce from all around, all the local farms, and they grow some themselves. But it's very convenient because it's right, you go to yoga.
Right there for you.
It's
yeah.
Right
oh, for you, because yeah, yeah. you're at Manchester.
Right.
What are the what are some of the things you'd like to do with apples? Like with the seasonal apples.
Okay, I love to. What do I like to do?
Apple pie.
Apple pie is a huge one. I love to make like apple cakes with chopped up apples and cinnamon and.
You only do food things with apples.
And then I also love to. I always have this huge crop of pears. So I make this I make apple pear sauce. So it's just like applesauce, but you combine apples and pears together, and my family just loves it. I've been making it on ham? You serve it with ham, or just a big bowl of it with breakfast, for breakfast with like yogurt. Porridge. And yeah, you could put it on porridge, but it's just nice. Or you serve it with scones and a bowl of that and a bowl of yogurt, and you have a great breakfast.
What's your favorite apple dish?
Well, I mean, perhaps the most recent. I mean, I gathered together with some friends in Essex last night, and we had pulled pork as main course. Mm. But early on was some goat cheese and sliced native apples.
Sliced native apples. Okay, were they prepared anyway or just sliced?
Well, no, we sliced them and
you ate them raw.
With the goat cheese, the two flavors.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, pear.
I forgot apple tarts too. I love to make apple tarts.
I'm not a sweets guy. I don't like particularly big sweets things, but I do like apple crisp with the vanilla bean ice cream on top. Mm.
It's the sweet part that you like.
For that is, yeah. I don't know. It's not that I don't like sweets. It's just they don't do anyway.
At this time of year, I eat an apple every day or two sometimes because they're just so delicious.
Apple a day
so
keeps
fresh.
The doctor away.
So you had pulled pork.
Last night.
And this is it's funny that you mentioned because with the next topic that we're going to talk about is ribs. And
totally unbeknownst to me.
What?
I did not know that this was going to be the next topic.
I know you didn't. Which is, I mean, it's interesting that you brought that up. There's a little thing. Do you like ribs? Do you prefer ribs with a dry rub? Or with a sauce?
Usually, okay, most of the ribs are prepared with a rub, okay, and the sauce is applied toward the end, if at all.
Right. I'm talking about, okay, even if they're dry rubbed, in the end, when you're going to eat them, do you prefer them just a dry rub without a sauce?
I like them both ways.
Okay, you don't have a preference?
No.
Okay.
I think I like sauce, but maybe I've just never had a good dry rub. But I think
Craig makes an excellent dry rub, and I don't think Craig. I think Craig is like a southern his southern style that he cooks them. He does not want a sauce on his on his ribs. Mm. I believe that's the way it is
that's
with him.
Yeah.
And I had ribs.
How do you like them?
You know, I'm kind of like with Toby. In that I love Craig's ribs because he does an unbelievable job. But I had some ribs this weekend, and it was like a spicy but sweet sauce at the same time. Mm. And I mean, your fingers—you're a mess.
Right, you're a mess.
You're done eating it. But it was so delicious.
Okay.
It was a long time preparing them. It was like 6 hours in the oven, and then we finished them on the grill.
Low and slow. It's the answer.
I'd like to try that recipe. Okay.
I mean, if you want that meat to be done right and basically
I had a hard time flipping them.
Yeah.
I had a hard time flipping them because like the whole rack together. I put the tongs all the way under.
Right.
Yeah.
And then flipped them.
You developed the technique.
By fire. What do we call it?
Trial by fire.
Literally. By fire. And I successfully flipped two of them, and the third one, some of the ribs stuck, and so I pulled off a lot of that good kind of like the
bark.
The bark, yeah.
Is that what you call it?
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. This recipe, I should probably get it and put it on the blog.
The bark.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it conceptually.
Yeah, it's like bark, right.
Exactly, actually, it was a week ago, Sunday for football. So, oh my God, it's so freaking good.
Yeah. Are there any leftovers?
No. There is leftover sauce in the freezer.
Oh.
But in this case, or last night's case, the pulled pork, we did it up, or it was done up in a crock pot.
Oh, okay. So was it a tenderloin that you pulled apart, or was it a
no? It was a small butt and a small shoulder.
Okay,
that was slow cooked in the crock pot, and then of course. Pulled apart when they were done, and we had some nice, actually it was Virgilio's rolls, And they were served over with a couple options of sauce and some veggies if you wanted. And the way I have it when I have it is with a homemade coleslaw on top of the pulled pork. Yeah. That's the way I had it too.
That sounds delicious.
I think the best value in grocery stores today are the pork tenderloins.
They are a good value.
I think they're the best value.
But the downside, if there is a downside, is that they're basically flavorless because there's not a lot of fat when you cook them. So therefore,
you put them in a crock pot, there's flavor.
Well, but your challenge is, you know, how are you going to cook them? What kind of sauce? How
add
are you?
Flavors,
right.
Got to add flavor.
I think, I don't think it's that much of a challenge. I think you can. You could put some sauce in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've done it where I've just wrapped the entire pork tenderloin with bacon and cook it that way, and the additional fat and the flavor from the smokiness of the bacon comes right in. And then when you slice it...
You could put little things of garlic in there.
There's all kinds of things. Cool. Yeah.
That's why people normally... That's probably why people bury pork with garlic all the time. When more pork recipes have garlic in it. Garlic cloves. Yeah, really good. But, ribs. Football season. I love football food.
Is it on every single night now? It seems like it's on.
No, they added Thursday. It was like 4 or 5 years ago, you would only have Thursday night games like towards the very end of the tail end of the season. Now they have every week. You have Monday night football, Thursday night football.
Don Meredith
Friday night?
No, not Friday.
And Howard Cosell created Monday night football. That was...
So how many nights did you just say? There's Monday, Thursday, Sunday.
Sunday now.
And isn't there football on Saturday?
Later in the season, they'll go to Saturday too.
But there's always, I should say.
Well, there's college football.
Collegiate football.
College football, traditionally. But then, I don't know if it's January. I'm not sure when they
stick. Cable TV killed it.
I love it.
I know you love it. I'm just teasing. But it used to be.
You love college football?
You know, I love any football.
But when you had basically ABC, NBC, and CBS, you know, Sundays was watching football, and I think one of the networks had like the 1 o'clock game, and the other network had the 4 o'clock game, so you had to switch the channel. Mm-hmm. Now with cable with 500 channels and nothing on, you got football all the time.
The Red Zone channel. My brother-in-law Barry has the Red Zone channel, which just that's all it does is play. They're scanning all the games that are being played, and they're showing you highlights of. It's just like the best. There's no stopping the action. It goes from one awesome play to the next awesome play to the next awesome play.
Oh my goodness.
And for fantasy football people, which I'm glad I'm not playing fantasy football. I played fantasy football for like 6 or 7 years, and I liked it when I played it. But like
It got to a point where I
wasn't enjoying football for the games. I was rooting for teams just based on players' performances. And now I feel like I can sit and watch a game, and just
more relaxing.
It's more relaxing. You can just watch the game for the game and root for your home team. Just you know, even if a guy that's on the other team is playing against you,
Well, can I ask you something that you probably makes me sound really dumb, but there's money involved in fantasy football.
Fantasy football, there's generally people. I've played in leagues where there was no money involved, and I actually enjoyed those leagues better because there's so much more. Like sometimes you play in a league where, like say it's $100 or $50, and to you $50 might not seem like a lot of money or something, but to some, you know, people that you're playing with.
Right.
It's like they do underhanded things, and they'll like to try to get an advantage because there's money on the line. It's just like
that really spoils it.
And then you're like, and then there's always like leagues where you have to chase the people for the money for the dues, and then like you know, then if you don't get the dues by a certain time, and then if they've lost like 4 or 5 games in a row, then they stop. Then they stop participating because they're kind of out of it, and then they haven't paid their dues, and they don't pay their dues. And then the guy, the treasurer, is like, you know, racking his brain because people want to get paid. It's just it's not worth it. No fun. I don't know. It's fun for a lot of people. I'm just happen to be glad that I'm not participating. I want to thank Toby Pett and Cynthia Hill for suggestions on slippers.
Oh, yeah. Did you get some? Or did you order some? Yeah,
no, I didn't. I'm in the process of trying to find a pair, but I have some suggestions. But I think I feel really good about it because at my mom's house, like, you know, everybody's trying to save money with heat and stuff like that. It's like keep the heat on 50. Like cold. If you have cold floors, it doesn't matter what the temperature of the house is because you just radiates up through your body.
Right.
And I feel like a nice warm pair of slippers will help to keep me a little more comfortable this winter.
Maybe you should get some of those like manly man leather slippers with sheepskin.
Snuggie. No, some of the suggestions I think I put out there, I don't want like Indian-looking moccasins.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about...
Those are not men. Like, oh, Toby's just itching to get in on this conversation.
Nope.
No, because Toby had suggested these clogs. And I said, I don't think... Like, clogs are just not my style.
But what I suggested, and one very popular style of clog that's become also popular in the U.S., but originally was a European...
Scandinavian?
Well, a German, Austrian, and Scandinavian is the boiled wool, the felt clogs. Stegman, Haflinger, some of these other brands, they basically have a wool felt clog on a...
Cork
sole, similar to a Birkenstock. So they give you the support, they insulate you from the cold, and they're easy to get in and out. Yet they still stay on your feet. I mean, flip-flops don't have their back.
Yeah, well, there's so many. Like, it's funny because whenever I get something, I'm insane about the research. Like, for me, like, 90% of the fun is the, like, researching just the right thing. So, like, there's these different styles. There's the open back. There's the moccasin. There's one that uses synthetic fibers inside that are supposed to look like sheep's, you know, like the Sherpa.
Yeah,
And stuff like that.
Like real wool, but they're not.
There's some that have like a flannel lined. Right. Then you have the Tempur-Pedic kind of mushy, like a foam cushion in the bottom. Yeah. So it's like literally dozens of different styles.
But then you have
ones that have real soles that you could wear them out and about, and then some that have just like kind of like a heart, like a leatherish sole.
I see kids all the time just wearing their slippers out, you know, just.
Well, kids, that's the thing.
Joey, from a fashion perspective, flip flops, he would, or sandals, he only would wear what we call flip flops, where you just.
My kids terrorize me because I tell them to put their flip flops on, but they're the sun sand sandals, and they correct me every time. But they're sandals, Dad. They're sandals. I'm like, whatever. Put them on. Let's go.
But you don't wear the type of sandals or flip flops that have a strap.
I wear flip flops.
You wear
in the summer,
right?
Whatever.
But
he
wouldn't wear. The point I'm trying to make, and I'll let you go at it. He won't wear because he thinks they convey.
Dad,
a less masculine look. He would not wear a clog of any sort. Not only the boiled felt, but any of them.
I would wear men's slippers, traditional slippers that
less
have
masculine.
Like that are like kind of like flip flops that have that cover like the top part of your shoes, your foot, forefoot, right?
Okay.
But with an open back, but clogs to me are just
less masculine.
Less masculine. Let's put it. Yes, less masculine.
Whatever you get.
That's the word we're looking for. So
let me just say, whatever you get, because of the work that you do all day long, I would get something that has to have
arch support.
It has arch and also has a cushioned bed, because that would really help you just to have that little bit of a relief.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whatever you get, I think that should be like first, and then.
Well,
and then find something manly.
So it's funny that it's funny because after Toby and I had this discussion, he was ribbing me because I said that, you know, clogs are less masculine. And
we need to find some pictures of masculine men in clogs.
That would be your duty, as you go out of your way to find high waisted jorts that look attractive on women, and she only finds supermodels wearing them. And because the woman has such a stunningly beautiful face, she says, "Oh, they look beautiful on her." But if she was wearing like a real nice pair of cuter shorts, she would look 100 times more attractive. But getting back to our subject, I had remembered, I mean, forever ago, I was in high school, but like the most masculine men in our school at the time.
The big super duper hockey stars.
The hockey players, right. And these guys were getting in fights. They were the hockey players that got in fights with their best friends, and then were like, you know, hugging each other afterwards, and you know, and like going drinking with them later on. Like those guys wore clogs, like clogs.
There
were clogs, and it was just this thing. A couple of the guys were from Rockport. I think Mike Welcome was one of the guys, and Armstrong, Army, we used to call him. And these were tough guys, tough guys, and they wore clogs. So I don't know. Maybe my thing. I just the look. You know me. I'm a traditional kind of looking guy.
No. You're set in your ways. I wouldn't say you're traditional.
You know they. You know they. No. Okay, Kim. Oh. Traditional or not?
Traditional.
The way I dress.
Traditional, but not set in your ways. I wouldn't. I would say you dress more
classic,
and
timeless.
Timeless, and also with like a you know.
Pat myself on the back.
I say classic, timeless, and also just kind of like a fun. A fun casual kind of look.
When I buy clothes, I try to buy something like that I could wear 25 years from now. Yeah. Even though they're not going to last me that long, but my style, if there is a style, is something that I could wear today. I could wear five years.
But
from now,
in this process of exploring what the ideal slipper would be and trying them and looking at them and getting input from various sources, you reinforced and learned a great lesson.
Oh, the guy. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But I think like there's different places. I'm going to talk about
just
shoes.
Just saying in general.
I know. Yeah, in general. I just want to talk about shoes in general. Like I've bought some pairs of shoes, and speaking of timeless and stuff like that, I think it's worth your while, because like especially like dress shoes. Like, if you buy a classic pair of dress shoes, once you're old enough, once you're a man, you can wear those dress shoes 10, 15 years from now. And especially because you're not wearing them every day. They don't get worn out.
Right.
You really ought to spend the money and get a good pair of shoes.
That's how I feel about high heels and, you know,
all. Yeah, well, it properly invested for the number of times you're going to wear those shoes. You know, you're going to have that shoe for 20 years, especially if it's timeless and it's design and classic and all of those things. Absolutely.
Yeah. You had a good... Didn't you have a buddy that... you have a buddy that is in the shoe industry.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But you had a buddy... didn't you... You were telling me a story about a guy that you had done business with up at Nordstrom's and the reason why it's worth...
Well, like, you know, I just... My point is that... Even though there are great websites like Zappos to go to if you're looking for shoes, there are great retail experiences. And I happen to know somebody who's been in the shoe industry. I mean, he literally worked in the shoe industry when he was a younger gentleman in Maine, moved down here, raised family, all the above. And now in his retirement, he's working almost full-time at Nordstrom's. And I will tell you this, that if anyone goes and gets this guy, okay, to service them, to wait on them.
Can you tell us his name?
His name is Buzz.
Buzz.
Okay.
So anybody shopping at Nordstrom?
And I will tell you that he is the type of guy that makes retail shopping worthwhile. I don't care if you pay 20% more because the service you're going to get and the guarantees he's going to give you, he's basically going to tell you, if you're not happy a week from now, a month from now, 2 months from now, I want you to come back. I will make things right. And that doesn't necessarily happen with an online service.
Well, the thing is, like, especially with shoes, you don't know if they're going to fit you right. And for me, if I get something like, I'm so busy down the dock that I don't, like... To get it and bring it to the post office and all
and
that pain,
it,
it's just
right.
I would probably end up sitting, you know, having a pair of shoes that I'm just not happy with.
That you're never going to wear.
That you're never going to wear. Right. It's going to sit in your closet forever. Right. Then going
I'm quite sure that if you went to the John Tarr store, if you went to Mark Adrian here in town, if you went to Larson's here in town, you would get excellent service as well. I only happen to mention this in a department store environment there are still, and of course, part of the reason why he's there is because he can get certain benefits that working in a small store could never offer him.
I should say I went to Mark Adrian the other day, and trying to get some sneakers for Madeline. They didn't happen to have the sneakers that she wanted. But I will tell you, they bent over backwards. They exhausted every avenue to try to make her happy and find something that she wanted. They just didn't happen to have it. Yeah. So,
I'm just saying in general, but everyone seems to be, oh, you can get that online. You can get it online. What I'm trying to tell you is good retailers are worth everything. Yeah.
Whether it's Mark Adrian or Nordstrom's,
right?
And Mark Adrian will price match,
right?
And if you can put something in a cart online, he'll price match. So that's nice to know too.
Yeah, but the service that you get is fabulous, and like I said, Larson's also does a great job here in Gloucester.
Yeah. Oh, so Kim Smith, you brought you brought your own tumbler today.
Well, it's just filled with water.
So we will not have, we won't have a styrofoam cup with red lipstick all over it when she leaves.
Oh, is that what happens?
Every time you leave, you always ask for water. And every time you leave, I'm like, we don't have to mark the cups around here. Kim's right. We do not need to, because it's like always bright red lipstick, like smudges all over. You definitely, the lipstick that you use definitely is not the non-smudging. Do they say they have lipstick that doesn't come off or something?
Well, you know what? I don't like that. It dries your lips out, that kind of lipstick. I guess
there's a method to the madness.
Right.
There's always a method to the madness.
Yeah, it's not good for your lips. I get my lipstick at Whole Foods.
Really?
Yeah, because they have like a really nice...
Burt's Beeswax?
Well, they have a really nice cosmetic section that, just basic things.
The liberals get their lipsticks.
All I buy is lipstick and eyeliner anyway. That's the only makeup that I buy, so.
You don't wear foundation?
No.
Really?
No. Mm-mm. Sometimes
How
I put cover
How do you know about
on.
All this stuff,
Sometimes,
Joe?
Sometimes I put cover up
I'm
on,
a
you know.
Worldly
I,
guy. What?
Sometimes I put cover up on if I have like a,
Zimple?
A zimple. Oh, that's a good word. I learned two new good words today. Zimple and Vunja face.
Vunja.
Vunja face.
Vunja. Why does everybody have such a hard time? Vunja. It's not Funja.
Okay, Vunja. Vunja. Vunja face.
Vunja face is a face like it is if you ate a case of lemons. That's the face. Some people, their face rests. And
so
you ever notice this? There's some people that they can be having the best day ever. And you look at them, and their face just rests in a frown.
Oh yeah.
But it's just the way their face rests in a frown. Some people's face rests in a smile. There's some people that unfortunately for them, their face rests in a frown.
I feel like my face does that sometimes.
I don't pick that up from you. Good. But there's definitely some people. Okay. I know a girl growing up, and she's a friend of mine. I would say, nicest girl. She's a very pretty girl, and. And she was very shy, but her face kind of rested in, a serious kind of look and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And guys would always say she was stuck up, but I knew for a fact she wasn't stuck up
at
all.
Yeah. Right.
She was not stuck up, but she was very shy, and her face rested in kind of a frown. And she's because of that, people had this misconception about her, and I felt bad for her.
I just want you to understand why there is a conflict here.
When you show,
it's okay if you do the wiki lookup. Okay,
it will say
Funja face with an F, and you say I don't know why people pronounce it in Italian.
Sfingi. It's spelled Sfingi. It's like those little. Fried balls with they put the honey and the chocolate on it.
Right.
It's not pronounced Sfingi.
I'm trying to tell you is some people get confused because of the computer.
When you show me things on your phone, I meant to tell you this. I can't have a conversation and look at your phone. I'm not that talented.
She doesn't, and she can't see.
I'm not an imbecile.
Toby, I like that you look things up and stuff like that, but instead of like you holding it for her to read, Just explain. You could explain right. your point.
Okay.
That's good. I mean, I don't. I like what you're doing.
But yeah. I'm just right. suggesting that part of the confusion exists because if you went to look up Vunja face online, it would come back up and say it's Funja face. Okay.
I appreciate it. Vunja. But like, just for future reference, while we're taping a podcast, if you look up something on your Samsung Galaxy Note. And you look it up and you hold it up to Kim's face to comment on. She can't see it. A.
Okay.
So just talk. You can break.
I'm feeling pretty beat up right now.
No, you're not beat up. This is for the benefit of the podcast. Right. The
it's just that it's me. I'm not very good at walking and talking at the same time.
I can't bring anything.
Right. I have to, like, when I'm having a conversation, I have to look at somebody, not look at somebody.
Okay,
else.
Let's move on.
Okay, sorry.
The iPhone 6 came out.
Oh yeah, I'm getting the 6 Plus, but it's like 2 months from now. If you didn't pre-order it months ago, now you can't get it until like October 28th is the latest date. So.
Who predicted this?
You did.
A year ago.
Right, and I said all along, I would like my phone so much better if it was as big as your phone. And that's,
phone envy.
Right.
I think it's a great thing for Apple, and I did predict that they were going to, because it was the first kind of upgrade in specifications that wasn't just like an incremental little thing. This was something that I felt that they really needed to do.
And also one thing that I'm interested in about the new phone is the camera has image stabilization in it, they've never had that in an iPhone. So I don't know, maybe your
so
Samsung
you,
phone
have, already Do you know anybody that has one?
No. A 6 Plus? No. Mm-mm.
You don't know? And Toby, do you know anybody that got one?
No. But I
are they
heard.
Are they out yet?
No, the 6 Plus.
Are they just for pre-order?
A few people have them, but they grossly miscalculated. This is what I read. They grossly miscalculated. So
I'm telling you, these tech thing people should put me on a payroll.
Right.
I really feel like I'm on, like, on the, like, you know, the whole thing with
you're a year ahead. You could help them. You know,
but it's like Windows 8.
Right.
Windows 8 and stuff like that. I was just like, they're dumbing down Windows so that they can go cross-platform. And I feel like they should just have a platform operating system for a tablet and a phone separate than what you have for a desktop. Because they're making it, you're losing, you know, the raw power of desktop computing because they're trying to make a desktop be able to do...
Yeah. With regard to the size, which was your big prediction, you know,
right.
you said if Apple does this, they'll be smart. And there are people that we know, and he's not overly sensitive, so it's okay. I'll mention his name, Paul Morrison, who basically laughed at us.
Laughed
at us. I don't mean...
Paul Morrison's statement back then was... some want a big screen and some want a smaller phone. I lean towards a smaller phone. This is Paul Morrison being the, like, I am all Apple all the time and everything else is inferior, Paul Morrison. You know what I mean? And we're, like, this goes for politics too. Like, the whole Apple versus Android, some Android people can't see any good in Apple and some Apple people can't see any good in Android. And I actually use all different types of devices. Like, I use an iPad, which is an Apple device. I use an Android phone. So I see strengths in both. And where it used to be, in my opinion, I feel like I've always been, Apple products blow away everything else as far as hardware goes.
I think you're very open-minded about.
I think I am.
Yeah.
And. But I feel like now that, and it almost coincides with Steve Jobs
leaving,
that Apple, I feel like if I was starting from scratch and I wasn't already invested in the Android.
Where did he leave to?
What?
Sorry.
If I wasn't already invested in the Android platform, and I was starting out today, knowing what I know, I feel like I would start out with Android.
You would,
And I think, you know, my... Well, and I think that for someone that isn't really computery, I know that's not a word, but it's a word that I kind of use.
Yeah.
I think I would still have them go towards Apple.
Oh, you would?
I would have them go towards Apple. I think it's simple.
It's user-friendly. Not computery, but user-friendly.
I agree.
That platform, there's no doubt, is way more user-friendly.
Hmm. Right. There's less you can tinker with, but I feel like
I mean, way back when we first bought our first computer, that's what was attractive to me. Was it was very user friendly. It was something I could use easily. So that's what attracted me all those years ago. So
when I bought my first Android phone, I was jealous of Apple's hardware. I thought Apple's iPhones were far and away better to use than the Android phones. But I feel now that Android, the competition of the different cell phone makers in Android, has
gotten them to
I think they make more interesting phones than the iPhone. And I feel like that Apple acting like they invented the big phone now, like if you read their press releases.
Right.
Even you see that.
Right.
You
see that,
Kim?
I don't know, I think that's irritating and insulting that I think that they do this, though, frequently. They refine something. Or they do it into a different direction, and then they take ownership of it.
Thought this up.
Yeah, and
that's coming from an Apple person. Yeah,
I find that as an artist and designer, I don't like it.
I think there you go. Right. I think some women are actually turned off by the larger phone.
Oh,
I've read some comments to that, but I imagine. I think for men, I think a bigger iPhone is really a welcome thing.
My son always has phones like you do, and, mm-hmm. and both of you have like long hands. I think a larger phone fits better in a larger hand. That's what I'm saying.
Well, in my case, when I went to the Samsung Galaxy Note, a long time ago. A year ago plus, right? The reason was I didn't want to have. I was tired of having multiple devices.
For you, it was yeah.
Okay, and I was trying to eliminate carrying, let's say, an iPad or an iPad Mini or another tablet, and a phone, and it has absolutely satisfied.
Yeah.
For your new job.
Right. When with the smaller phone, people weren't doing quite as much as they're doing now on a phone. So I mean, I'm really looking forward to the 6 Plus.
I know.
I'm guarding my upgrade from my daughter.
I told you to. Liv, don't hate me, but I told your mom, you do not give that upgrade away to your daughter. Because you break your phones every 2 minutes.
Right.
Every time a new phone comes out, it happened to fall in the toilet, Mom. Right when the new one comes out, by accident.
And by the way, I did back up all my contacts.
The last phone disappeared in a porta potty because she was
happened the new iPhone had just come out.
It was at an event and she was using her phone as a flashlight and it fell down the porta potty.
Dang, you don't want to retrieve that.
You don't retrieve that under any circumstances. I could totally empathize with her.
Oh man.
Speaking of my daughter Olivia, I. You guys know this, but I just wanted to say that.
Let the GMG world know?
Yeah, that she recently got engaged to a wonderful man, Matt O'Rourke. So my beautiful darling daughter is getting married in June.
It's amazing.
And we didn't even give him the dip test.
No.
The only thing we're lucky about is that she's not getting married during Fiesta.
Yeah.
We're happy about
we,
that.
We planned it so it's a week before Fiesta.
That's one of my things.
Could be planned during Fiesta.
One of my things. I'm gonna tell you one
it,
of my things.
It would be fun for people to come to Gloucester during that week.
And
if
it's
they
not
were
just
to
Fiesta.
Do,
it's not just Fiesta. Like
Fiesta.
I can't stand when this is what one of my pet peeves are. People when it's their wedding, they think it's different. So I can plan it on a holiday like the 4th of July or the 3rd of July or during Fiesta. Because no one else has anything that they do, any traditions or anything that they think of, because it's my day. And I love these same women that, like, for when someone else gets married, and they have to buy the dress, and they have to do all, oh, what a pain in the ass. She's such a bridezilla, you know what I mean? Even though they're friends and stuff like that, they make them go out of their way. But when it's their wedding, they do this, they do 10 times worse, but it's all okay. Do you find that?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, that. I never found that. I used to make all my friends' wedding dresses and their bridesmaids' dresses, and I was a bridesmaid. And then I would make the flower girls' dresses. So we
No, there's another classic example of the dresses, because they're like, oh, for they're in someone else's wedding. Like, oh my God, I can't believe the dress I have to buy is $250 for a dress I'm never going to wear again. And then they have a wedding, and they get pick out the bridesmaids' dress, and they're $300 for their bridesmaids. They have to buy the dresses.
Will you ever?
It's classic. It happens over and over.
Were you ever a groomsman in anyone's wedding?
Yeah, and I never had a problem with whatever they wanted it to do. I was all in on.
Yeah, that's and don't you think June 20th is perfect? It's before Fiesta, before July 4th. I thought she was very smart, and she wanted it either like the weekend, the 13th or the 20th.
So. I think it's great. I hope the weather. It should be good weather then. Usually, sometimes in a normal June. We have the first 2 weeks. The weather usually breaks the week before Fiesta. So. Or 2 weeks before Fiesta in a normal June. Right. Like usually we get that those rainy springs last.
They can last
into June sometimes. Right. But for her, I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
That's St. Pedro's.
St. Pete, looking out for St. Pete. He's looking out. He's sprinkling out good weather for
for
Gloucester.
For that whole end of June.
There you go.
By the way,
weather,
you know what's for lunch today?
Yes, I do. I just got the text message. The carne de porco.
it's pork alla tajana, but he calls it carne de porco because it just means pork meat.
Pork, it's alla tajana. It's a Portuguese dish. That Toby usually gets. That we discovered this dish down in.
It's a very traditional Portuguese dish, and I used to rave about it, and then I had to bring it back for both Eric and for Joey from Antonio's, the place I love so much down in New Bedford. And it's available at the Azorian as well. But Eric, I said, Eric, you can make this. This is how you make it.
The little diced up potatoes.
But you got to marinate the pork overnight in the wine.
It's for lunch today.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. The alla
tajana.
Also awesome news.
The alla tajana. And what's interesting is Pete Mondello, who is one of the fishermen that fishes out of this wharf down here at Captain Joe and Sons, he always talks about it when he used to go down monk fishing or whatever out in New Bedford. We'd go over and have
Antonio's
all the time and have either the alla tajana or the reba tajana, you know, two different dishes.
What's the difference in the reba tajana?
It's got a different sauce, and it has some shrimp. Only in Gloucester, by the way, which is the plural of shrimps.
Yeah, shrimps.
And the rest of the world, it's shrimp. But I always love it here in Gloucester when you hear a true Gloucesterag talk about, I got some shrimps.
pork and shrimp is good together.
But it's a different sauce as well. We like the way.
Speaking of passports, my son Alex just recently started working there. So
very excited.
I'm very excited.
There in Brody's?
No, at Passports.
No more Brody's?
Oh no, still Brody's. He's working at Brody's full time. Also at the gentleman who owns Brody's, his father has a restaurant in Salem called the Seaport Grill, and he's also working there, and now he's working at Passports too.
Have you gotten the secret recipe yet for me, the marinade?
He said there is no secret recipe. He said there is
likely
no secret
story.
Is no, it, do they marinate those tips at Brody's? Do you think think it's just salt?
One third Coca-Cola, one third Italian dressing, and one third ketchup.
Interesting. Nope. All right. Well, there you go. I don't know. Now we can all retire. Anybody have anything special for football tonight?
For football tonight.
No, but look, it's going to be a great. The Red Sox season's going to end this evening. Mm-hmm. This is it.
This is
the end of it.
Oh, tonight's the last game?
Last game. And it's also the end of the career of Derek Jeter. I got to tell you, if you're a baseball fan, forget the rivalry between the Yankees. this is a significant moment.
Didn't they give him like a standing ovation last night?
They've been giving him, honoring him every game. But, you know, nevertheless, it's the last time you're ever going to see him play baseball. And for him to finish his career in Fenway Park, considering the rivalry, I think
it's the last game for them, too?
Yeah.
Last game of the season for them.
Of the season, they're not going to be playing in the postseason.
Oh, good for them. Oh, that's nice that's the way it works.
And it's going to be, they're going to honor him. They're not going to have 10,000 celebrities. It'll be done in a tasteful fashion. Yep. And I hope Nicole's there to get some photos.
Nicole Schraft. She's got juice. I don't know. If anybody's going from our crew, I bet you it would be her. She's awesome.
Or Donna. Donna.
Nicole has juice there. She worked for the Red Sox organization for a while. She did a book with the blessings of
She was Mrs. Lucchino's like special photographer.
We need a copy of that here. That I would love to.
There
see
is
that.
One. Right
there is one actually somewhere.
Here or at your feet.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, she's a very good photographer.
Yeah. So, do you have any other hot subjects?
No.
Nothing to do with maybe the 100th, or we'll put that.
Oh, okay, the 100th. I still have to figure out if I think we're at 95 or 96 right now.
Really?
So we're about a month off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're talking about all we really know is that we're doing it, and anybody that has participated in the past can participate again.
Yeah, they're not required to.
And do you know what day yet? Have you decided what day?
No. No, we're gonna do it at night though. We're gonna do it at night, and Toby. Spoke with James Eves at Cape Angie Clay. Very nice. You know, they're up for everything. They're such great community people. And James and Anna said we'd love to have it here.
Just a thought that I had that because they've got a studio. I mean, if we have some food, if we get a lot of people, it's not like you're asking somebody to open their home and it's going to require, you know.
Yeah, we could have anybody that's been on the podcast before could be there. And we could have anybody that wants to just sit there in the peanut gallery.
And we could do a live feed too, for that matter.
That's a good idea. I like that. And Toby's got a lot of good ideas.
You know, and it's a big space, and it was.
I'm
just
worried about ambient noise and people and the mic being able to pick up everybody. If we have so many people and we're so spread out, right now as we speak, we're only about three. We're about 3.5 to 4 feet away from the mic.
Right.
I'm afraid if we have a ton of people and we each 10 feet away from the mic or 7 feet away from the mic, I'm hoping that it picks it up as well. So we'll have to do a test.
You can yell at people a lot.
I'll be very relaxed for that one, I'm sure.
Oh man, this is fun.
It is fun. I love it. I don't care if anybody listens. I swear to God, this is total vanity project. It's not even a vanity project. I just like the company. That's what it is. I like the company.
Well,
I love hanging
we play out. Off each other. We do enjoy each other, and we're good foils for each other as well.
It's coming up though. It's funny. Because we don't have metrics. Like Kim said, people stop her all the time and tell her that they've heard it. And people stop me all the time and say they listen to the podcast. They ask me a question about something we were talking about. But I really don't get the metrics on it. So
I understand.
I'd like people to chime in if they on this post. If they listen to the podcast, just chime in and let us know you're listening so we know because we don't get the metrics.
I can tell you, somebody stopped me this week and go, "Oh, Mr. Effervescent."
Yeah, there you go. So someone's definitely listening. There you go.
Yeah, and somebody called me Mrs. Grumpy Pants.
Who called you Mr. Grumpy Pants?
An anonymous person
probably Toby.
I think it was Kat Ryan, probably.
Kat Ryan, she's anonymous all the time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she just doesn't know how to not be anonymous.
Anyway, for Mr. Effervescent Toby Pat, and Mrs. Grumpy Pants Kim Smith, this is Joey Shimataro. We got another Gloucestercast in the books.
No bungee face.